Blog Talk Radio.
Father, we thank you today for the power and the authority of your word. We thank you, Lord, for saving us, for giving us everything that we need to destroy the works of Satan. Thank you, Father, tonight for the word that will go out and be proclaimed into all the world. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise God. Brother Shannon?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to take my text in Exodus chapter 7, verse 10. You can follow along with me in your Bible. Exodus chapter 7, verse 10. It says, "And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded." Notice that. That is the key. The only way we're going to have success in life is for us to do what the Lord tells us to do. We can't do what someone else is called to do. We got to do what God has called us to do and what God has spoken to us to do. Just like Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh. But here's the key. "And they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servant, and it became a serpent." Teach a little bit about the miracles that God performed when Moses was present. The first one was God's glory filling the tabernacle. That is found in Exodus chapter 40, verse 34. It says, "Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation." Now notice this. "And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Now, God is still performing miracles today. His glory is just as powerful today as it was back then. Well, the second miracle was fire consuming the sacrifices in Leviticus chapter 9, verse 24. "And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces." Well, this was because of the miracle working power of God. Number three was the fire killing priest. In Leviticus chapter 10, verse 2 says, "And there went out fire from the Lord." Now notice this. "And devoured them, and they died before the Lord." Now you can read why that all happened in Leviticus chapter 10 when you read the whole chapter. Number four, the fourth miracle was the fire which consumed some people. In the book of Numbers chapter 11, verse 2, "And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord," notice this, "the fire was quenched." If we're going to get things done, we got to pray just like Moses prayed. God still hears and he still answers prayer and he still does miracles. Number five, the fire was quenched. Numbers 11, 2, notice. "And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched." In other words, God heard, God answered. Well, the sixth miracle was a month's supply of quails for about 6 million people. You can read about that in Numbers chapter 11, verse 19 through 35. And the seventh miracle was the leprosy that was fixed upon Miriam, found in Numbers chapter 12, verse 10. "And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous." Wow. Now, the eighth miracle was the healing of Miriam. You can read about that in Numbers chapter 12, verses 13 through 16. The ninth miracle was the plague upon the 10 spies, in Numbers chapter 14, verse 37. "Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord." Wow. And the tenth miracle was the earth swallowed the rebels. Numbers chapter 16, verse 32. It said, "And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah." Now notice this. This was a miracle that God performed when Moses was present. The 11th miracle was the fire which consumed some people. Numbers 16:35. It said, and there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Note that. A fire from the Lord. It consumed. Look how many. The 250 men that offered incense. The 12th miracle was the plague, which killed 14,700 people, found in Numbers chapter 16, verse 49. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, beside them that died about the matter of Korah. Now all of these things happened when Moses was present. The Bible says that Moses, he was the meekest man on the earth. The 13th miracle was iron rod that bore almond. Chapter 17, verse 8 says, and it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi, notice, was budded, and brought forth buds, and bloom blossomed, and yielded almond. Notice that. Aaron rod that bore almond. This was the 13th miracle that was done. Number 14 was water from the rock. Numbers chapter 20, verse 11 says, and Moses lifted up his hand, and when his rod, he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. Notice this. This was the 14th miracle that God did. When Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice. He wasn't supposed to do it. He was supposed to speak to it. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and also their beast as well. Well, the 15th miracle was the healing Israel. You read about that in Numbers chapter 21, verses 5 through 9. And number 16, and the last one, it's the plague which killed 24,000 people. In Numbers chapter 25, verse 9 says, and those that died in the plague were 24,000. Well, these are 16 other miracles that God performed when Moses was present. Well, Malachi says, he's God, and he changes not. He's still doing miracles today. Not only is he a God of love, but he's also a God of judgment, and he must judge sin. Well, Jesus is Lord. I love you, and I'm going to turn it back over to my brother.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that message. God is good all the time. He's good. Thank God for his word. He's looking to bless us. He wants to bless us. He wants to take us higher in him. Amen. He wants to take us higher in him. I pray that we will allow that to happen in our lives. God is a good God. Yes, he is. He is a good God. Praise God. After this song, we'll let Tierra have her.
The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all of the earth keep silent before him. Thank you.
Hello.
Man, go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to be reading today out of Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto man. Now that he ascended, is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heaven, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitted joint together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having understanding, the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be rewarded in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying speaking, every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be you angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and all clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be you kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I just want to say, I really thank and praise God for the body of Christ. Last week, you know, I was telling a friend after we got off of the radio station that, you know, I was in need. You know, I was going through with my mother, and I was in need of a spiritual mother, and Mother Mary, unaware, not knowing that she was a mother to me. Every week that I called the radio, I just want to, you know, and that goes back down to chapter 16. It says, from whom the whole body fittedly joined together and compacted, by which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working, and the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love. You know, because of the love of one another that we give and that we talk about every week on this station, not knowing that there's a spiritual brother or sister, our spiritual daughter, that admires that woman, that man in you. I just want to say thank you, Mother Mary. You was a mother to me when I needed one. And for any brother or sister that's out there that needs a spiritual sister or a spiritual brother, this is the right place. Because it gave me everything I needed, confidence, joy, the love that I needed, that was lacking. I found it in Jesus. And because I was searching, it brought me to the right place. And you can be just like Mary was when Martha was cooking. Christ told Mary, Martha, she was getting the good news, just like you all are now, getting fed the good word of Jesus Christ. And not only that, we're getting it from spiritual mothers, spiritual fathers, spiritual brothers, spiritual sisters, that all come together as one body, serving one Lord, under one faith, one baptism, one God. All having one mind. May the Lord have a blessing over the reading of his word. You all stay blessed, and I hope that this blesses someone that was in need of this word. Thank you.
Amen. That was good. Amen. How gracious you are. When you think about the goodness of God, we ought to praise him. We ought to worship him. Tonight, I just want to look at a verse out of Galatians, the second chapter, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We need to realize that we must be crucified with Christ. We've got to crucify our flesh daily. And the way we crucify our flesh, we get into the Word of God. We let the Word of God start moving the darkness out of our lives that were there for years, where we got angry and bitter and all of these things crept up on us. Even now, you know, if we're not studying the Word of God, we're not in prayer, we're not really fellowshipping with other believers, we'll find ourselves getting angry, getting bitter, and walking in unforgiveness, you know. But as we crucify our flesh, we start walking like Jesus, because we were crucified with him. When he went to the cross, we went to the cross. The old man is dead. We just keep resurrecting him. He's already dead. He's already dead. And we just keep resurrecting him, keep resurrecting. It's kind of like putting a dead dog around your neck and you're just walking around with a dead dog. That dead dog's going to start stinking on you, start decaying on you. That's the way it is with us. As you grow in the things of God, your flesh begins to decay. It stinks. You don't want to do the things you used to do anymore. You begin to hate those things. You love the people who are doing them, but you hate those things. Because you know those things are destroying those people. You begin to hate those things. I mean, the words you used to say, you don't say anymore. And when it slips out, it just bothers you. It's just, you hate to do it. Or when you do some things you used to do, it's, you know, the desire of your flesh gives in. You give in to the desire of your flesh. Boy, you hate it. 2 or 3 seconds of pleasure is not worth the anointing that God has put on our lives. I think about that. You know, every time I fall, you know, I say, oh, my God, I can't even enjoy this anymore. I can't enjoy the things I used to enjoy. Because of the anointing of God on my life. And as we operate in the things of God, we began to see the spirituality of God. Most Christians never walk in the spiritual knowledge, wisdom, or understanding, because they explain it away because they have been educated in their denominations. They have been educated in the opinions of men, so when God moves, they call it the devil. Think about that. God is healing people, and we call it the devil. God is blessing people, and we call it the devil. Well, the devil is mad because we are being blessed. He thought he had us down. But God resurrected us. It's amazing when you come to know Jesus Christ. At first, you lose everything you got. Man, you just saying, wow, I was better off before I came to Christ. You just think you were. You wasn't better off. you wasn't better off at all. You just thought you were better off because you was looking at the material world. You weren't happy with it because peace comes from God. Joy comes from God. So you didn't have joy. You didn't have peace. Even though you had things. You know, we have a lot of things. But it is not the things. It is God. We need God in our lives. We need God to motivate us, to bring us to Him. So we can be like Him. We were made to be like God. Not to be God, but to be like God. We were made to do what's right. You know, when I look at in Galatians right here, the fifth chapter, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. That's like God. That's what God is like. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. God is love. Well, joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Peace. We have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Long suffering. Boy, long, you know, sometimes we think suffering is our enemy. But long suffering gets us ready for the victory. Keeps us from going places we normally would go if it wasn't for the suffering. But when we go through the suffering, God is taking things off of us. He is purging us from the things of the world. He's purging, renewing our minds. He is deleting all of the thoughts we used to enjoy. So when we're going through struggles and sufferings, it's because of a purging that's taking place. He has to clean us for the next mission he has for us. You know, we all grow. In other words, if you're frustrated, it's because you're not where you need to be in your growth level. Everybody grows different. So don't try to be like someone else. Allow God to grow you up. Allow God to dictate where you grow. Because you'll be trying to act like someone else and you don't have their growth and you're not supposed to have that growth right now. Or you might be lower in your growth, so you're frustrated because you were following somebody else. So be mindful of where God wants you to be. And you will know that as the Spirit of God inside of you starts speaking to you. Most Christians don't have the Holy Spirit speaking to them. They have somebody in the natural speaking to them. And they are dictating their lives. But you have the Holy Spirit inside of you to dictate your life, to discern between right and wrong. There's too much false teaching out there. That's why God gave us the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. And then he talks about gentleness. Oh, my God. Gentleness and goodness and faith. Faithfulness. We need to be gentle. We need to have goodness. This is God. God is making us like him. He's growing us up to be like him. Meekness. Temperance. Against such, there is no law. You don't need a law when you love people. You don't need a law when you have joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. There is no law for that. You don't have to make me love others. I love them anyway. Amen. Even when they don't want me to love them, I can't help it. Love just comes out. And that's the way it should be. But as we grow, we begin to take on the lifestyle of Jesus, who said, if you've seen me, you have seen my Father also. And every Christian needs to get to that level where they can say, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. I remember one time I was teaching in a facility, and this guy came up to me, and he says, man, I want to thank you for that message. He said, but we don't believe in shaking women's hands. Well, I said, you can't shake my hand if you don't shake my wife's hand, because if you've seen me, you've seen my wife. And if you've seen my wife, you've seen me. We are one, so you can't call my wife a dog and call me good. And that's the way it is with God. We are one with God. Oh, my God. We are one with God. So that means those who are born again, I don't care what the color of your skin is. I don't care what the financial status is. If you're born again, you are connected to me. Amen. Because I'm born again. Amen. If you're not connected to me, that's your problem. But if you've been born again, we have the same Father. God is our Father. Jesus is our brother who redeemed us from the curse of the law. The Holy Spirit is our teacher to guide us into all the ways and the affairs of God the Father and Jesus Christ. So once I understand who I am, I will find out I'm just like God. That means if I'm like God, I have the authority of God. Jesus says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. So we take on everything about God. In Colossians 1 and 13, it says, he has delivered us from the powers of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his Son. In other words, there are no addictions in the body of Christ. If you are a Christian, you don't have addictions. Those addictions were destroyed at the cross, and they were moved at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You don't have a generational curse because God is your Father. God is your Father, and he don't have cancer. He don't have heart trouble. He don't have an addiction problem. God is my Father. See, the devil wants to bring you down to the world's level. The world has those problems because they don't have God. The Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are new whether we act like it or not. We are perfect whether we act like it or not. We are holy whether we act like it or not. We are perfect because there's a perfect God who lives inside of us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So what's going to stop you from living the life that God has called you? Nothing. So you have to say yes to the devil in order to sin. He cannot grab you and make you sin because the God inside of you is much greater. Your sins have been forgiven. You don't have to walk around and say, oh, my God, my past was so bad. I've done so bad. And guess what? That past is gone. It is gone because God saved you. The blood of Jesus washed your past away and been cast in the sea of forgiveness, never to come up again. Wow, isn't that great? The only way your past is coming up, you've got to bring it up, because God can't bring it up, because he has forgotten your past. When he saved you, when he came into your life, he forgave you of everything you've ever done and everything that you will ever do. God has already forgiven you. Remember, he chose you before the foundation of the world. Wow. In other words, he had already forgiven you before the foundation of the world. So you need to act on it by faith. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As you hear the word of God, you begin to take on those things that God has already given you. You know that you are more than a conqueror through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You know you have confidence when you pray, because you study his will. He said, this is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know if he hears us, we have the petition that we've asked of him. My God, as you study his word, it increases your prayer life. You don't have to ask for anything anymore. You just start thanking God, because those blessings just start automatically coming to you. So you just need to start thanking him. God, thank you for blessing me, because I know you want to bless me. He wants to bless us. The blessings are chasing us down. My God, they're just chasing us down. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've given me. Thank you, Lord, right now for the blessings you've given me. That's what we need to do. We need to start thanking God. Thank him for that job. You say, well, it's not much, but guess what? Thank him for that job, and he'll give you a better job. Thank him for that car, and he'll give you a better car. Thank him for that house, he'll give you a better house. Get where you think, God. Father, thank you. It's not about what I possess. It's about who possesses me. God possesses me. The greatest thing you can do in the world is to bless others. It's to put them in the position to be successful. That's when you know you're living a life, because you're not concerned about what you're going to get, because you already know God's going to bless you anyway. Because you're walking in his plan. He's already going to bless you so you can bless someone else. How can you give unless God is giving to you? So you start thanking God for what he's doing for you, and he'll just start showering you with blessings so you can bless somebody else. You know, sometimes people say, man, I wish I could just give like you're giving. Well, just start thanking God for what he's giving you right now to give. And then you start flourishing. You become the tree. You become the tree that people come around and get wisdom from, and get knowledge and understanding from, get love and grace and mercy from. You become that person. That's the tree I want to be. I want to be the tree when people need truth. They say, hey, man, go to W.L. Scott. He'll tell you the truth. He's not worried about what folk going to say. He'll tell you the truth in love. He'll love you no matter what you're doing. He will love you through it. He will teach you the word of God. He'll take time with you. Amen. That's what I want to be. You know, you're right. If I gave you $20, it wouldn't take you long to spend that $20. But if I gave you 20 minutes of my time, that would be priceless. When we give our time to people, when we sit there with that person on the corner, instead of giving them money, you may give them money too, but give them some time. Sit there and talk to them. See why they're there. And see how you can encourage them. You know, it may not be the money they need. They might need a word to say, get up. You can get up. You can rise from this pit. And I want to help you rise from this pit. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Don't let the devil rob you. You might need to cast demons out because they're probably influencing him. But guess what? You have the authority over demons. Amen. I remember reading in Luke 10 and 17 where the 70 disciples came back and they was rejoicing that the demons were subject to them. And Jesus said, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you in my name, but rejoice that your name have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, demons are supposed to be subject to you. Jesus says, I give you power to walk over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So why are you afraid? Well, probably you're not studying the word. You don't know what the word says. You don't pray. You don't spend time talking to God. Prayer is not always us talking. It is God talking to us. He want to have a fellowship with us. He want to sit down and just talk. Talk about how much he loves you. And then you get to tell him how much you love him. You know, you're not asking for anything. You're not even asking questions. You're just having fellowship. Amen. Just having fellowship. I just want to know something about you. I want to know how I can bless you. I want to know your heart. I really want to know your heart, Father. I want to know your heart so my heart would be like your heart. I want to be able to take this world and be ready to be crucified that this world might be saved. That's where we ought to be growing to. He says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny themselves. Take up the cross and follow me daily. There are people that need to be saved. And you say, well, there's no use. They won't ever come. That is not true. God is God. He has the power over Satan. Yesterday, I went to the altar and I prayed. Every time I preach, every time I teach, every person I minister to, I have an expectation that there's going to be a change in their lives. That is an expectation in my life, that everybody I come in contact with, they are going to be blessed because I have an expectation in my life that the word I preach is powerful. It's not that W.L. Scott is powerful, but there's a powerful word that's coming out of us. We are the words of God. In human flesh, we are the temples of God. So we must not be afraid to walk out on his word and say, Father, I stretch my hands to you. No other help I know. If you would withdraw yourself from me, where other shall I go? You gotta understand that there is no plan B. Only plan A, and that's God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Honor the Lord with the first fruit of your increase, and so shall your barns be filled with plenty. I say to you today, don't bring God something you don't want. Bring him something that you just love. You want it. It's important to you. Give that to God. And he will give you back something better. Tiara, pray for us.
Father God, in your name, Jesus, we come to you now with humble minds, hearts, and spirits. I ask, Father God, through you, Christ Jesus, led by the Holy Spirit, that you bestow on wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, God, that you bless the souls, the hearers today, in this time, as we got out of your word, Lord, that you bless them, every one of our hearts, Lord, that we follow you and not of our own selves, God, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, God. We ask that you allow us, God, to know the confidence that you have inside, that you've built inside of us, God, and that your anointing comes to its fullest, complete in you, that, God, that we begin to be just like Mary was. Even though she was your mother, God, you were still a spiritual father to her. God, we ask, Lord God, that even in the body of Christ, that, God, that to let those know, even those like Pastor W.L. Scott was saying, that we need to know who we are, God. Let them know that they're not alone, God, that we have a spiritual father working with us, a spiritual mother, God, and that's in you. And God, I just want to say I thank you for the spiritual family on this line. God, every week gets better and better. And I ask, God, that you just bless the hearers, God, with their spiritual gifts. I know sometimes, you know, we worry about all these materialistic things, but we're not knowing that God is the one that gave us confidence, that we aren't who we were yesterday, that he gives us spiritual strength, that, God, we weren't as weak like we used to be anymore, but, Lord, we're noticing each and every day that we're being delivered from that old person, from the old things, God, that we used to do. God, but now that we're walking in completeness, in fullness, in measure, in you. And I just want to say I thank and I praise you, Lord Jesus, for that opportunity. And I thank you, Lord. I ask these things in your name, Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Wasn't that good?
Yes, it was.
Thank you for praying for us. Amen.
Amen.
Great. My God, when I in awesome wonder consider all of the world thy hands have made, I see the stars.
God is great. We will see y'all on Monday. May God richly bless you today, is my prayer. Good night, ladies.
Good night. I love you.
I love both of y'all. God bless you.